Words fill a page. Pages fill a chapter. Chapters fill a book. Every decision, big and small, writes the story of your life. Unfortunately, some people leave portions of their story unwritten. Sometimes that's why you need to go ahead and take the risk. My story, I decided to go.
I just think that lady is adorable. I just think she's adorable. We've had so much fun with this series called My Story. And if you're here today, and I just checked all the visitor parking places are full. So can we thank those who are visiting Grace Point today in the summer. And so if you weren't here, you're kind of catching the last of the movie, but you can go online and watch all the three. If you've been on vacation, like many others, you can watch online and get caught up. So it's been a fantastic series. A lot of people coming up to me and go, man, God really spoke to me. God really spoke to me. God made me uncomfortable. I'm like, I love hearing all that. It's not about me. It's about our Lord and Savior, our Heavenly Father. And so when he speaks to us, that's fantastic. So what I want to tell you about what we're going to do next week before I get into this message today is next week we begin a brand new series, and people have already been asking me for months, are we going to do this again? Are we going to do this again? We've done it the last two summers, and we will do this again. What am I talking about? Next Sunday starts our series called At the Movies. At the Movies. So what we take movies and talk about spiritual truths in there, just like Jesus told parables. Jesus loved telling stories, told parables, but the whole purpose was a spiritual truth. So here's the trailer for this next series.
Sorry I'm late. I've had a day.
Say, Wiz, can you help me out? Thanks, bro.
Is everything all right?
My romantic comedy is a romantic tragedy.
Michelle, I can't live without you.
Shh. Man, why do we always come to the movies?
Well, you can learn a lot from a movie.
So next Sunday, we're going to start with La La Land. So I don't want to blow it for you if you don't know what it is. I will talk about it next week, so if you want to watch it. Now, let me just say this, listen carefully. Every movie we're going to talk about doesn't mean we condone everything in the movie, all right? But there are spiritual truths, biblical truths that we are going to unpack every single week. So if you want to watch that, and I'll tell you next Sunday all the rest of the movies for the month of August. God is a storyteller, and he is writing. He wants to write our story, and we want to know is God writing our story, or are we writing our story? If God writes our story, it's a life worth living and a story worth telling. If God writes our story. And what we've been talking about, kind of the theme through this whole month of July is this, is that the decisions we make today determine the story we will tell tomorrow. The decisions we make today, they matter. They will determine the story we tell tomorrow. And kind of the theme verse in this series is found in Hebrews. It says this, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. One of the descriptions of Jesus is that he's the what? The author and perfecter or finisher of our faith. And the question is Jesus writing your story? And the challenge is he needs to write our story. And what we've been doing is we're going to take four Old Testament characters who made a decision whose story we are still telling today. The first decision we talked about is I decided to start. You can't change your story. You can't go in the past and change it, but you can change it. But you got to start something, a new discipline, a new habit, a new direction. And we talked about Nehemiah as they looked around them and their city was in rubbles. The wall was never restored and they were living in embarrassment and shame. And they finally got to the point that said, we will start rebuilding this wall. And there's things that are cluttered all around our lives, bad decisions we made, bad choices. We've got to say, okay, God, help me start a new chapter. Write the story. I've written it and I've made a mess of it. There's rubble and I need to start. So Lord, help me. Where do I start? The key to all this series, what God, what do you want? What do you want me to want? What do you want me to start? And then we talked about the decision to stop. The decision to stop. Moses was doing things that his father-in-law said, Moses, this is not good. You need to stop doing what you're doing. You need to go a different direction. And many times we have habits, we have attitudes, we have behaviors that God says, it's hindering. What you're doing is hindering the story I want to write so that you could tell that story, but you got to stop certain things first. And we went through a whole list from the Bible of what we should stop so that it doesn't hinder the story God wants us to tell. And then last week we talked about making the decision that I decided to stay when it would be easier to go. And Ruth was a person that she decided to stay with her mother-in-law. Her husband had passed away. She stayed with Naomi to go back to a foreign land for her to start a life there. But she decided to stay with Naomi. It would have been easier to go back home. To go back to her homeland and go back and start a family, get a husband there. But she made the best decision ever. She decided to stay when it would have been way easier to go. And now today we're going to talk about I decided to go. Decided to go. Now if you're taking notes, it's this. Central point is this. Sometimes the best decision I can make is to go when it would be easier to stay. To go when it would be easier to stay. Now, I'm not talking about, okay, then I need to go and leave my marriage because it would be a lot easier to stay in my marriage. Pastor Barry said so. No, I'm not saying that. We talked about that last week, all right, 2 weeks ago. We're talking about I decided to stay, not I decided to be stupid. Okay, that's not what we're talking about today. It's clearly against what God would want. What I'm talking about today is faith, that God wants you to go in a direction that is not going to be easy, but God says, you know, you're too comfortable, you're too cozy, and you're in a rut, and I want to stretch your faith, and I want you to go in this direction. You need to trust me, because I'm a sovereign God with a sovereign plan. Do you trust me enough to go in that direction and do what I ask and go when it would be much easier to stay? Go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 12, if you would. Genesis chapter 12, we're going to unpack a little bit of the story of Abram. We now call him Abraham. God gave him a new name. And the faith to go where God told him to go. Now, in our first year of marriage, my wife and I were back finishing up college in Virginia, and we had a plan. And our plan was a great plan. You ever had plans that were great? They made sense. They were logical. They were just, it was awesome. And the timing was pristine. And we're like, God, of course you're going to bless our plans. And our plan was, I will work full time so that my wife can finish up going to school. And then when she finished up going to school, then I would work part time like she was, and she would work full time so I can finish up school. So I let her kind of pass me, and she graduated. And then our plan was then, okay, now you're going to work full-time. She got hired at the mansion, the chancellor's office. They loved her. And she was going to work full-time so that I could go back and finish up. And I just had one semester left. And I saved some basic classes that were offered every year, every semester. And so that was the plan. And then my wife's parents came out for her graduation, and they stayed with us. And we were talking, and then my wife's dad at the time was a pastor at a mission church, a small little church in Vancouver, Washington. And he came up with the craziest idea. He said, why don't you move now and be our youth pastor in Vancouver? My wife and I, we went to our room that night, and she goes, my dad has lost it. This is crazy. I mean, you're not even done with school yet. And our plan was, now you're gonna go back to school, and I'll work full time, and then you're gonna, and I was saying, yeah, then I got connections here, and they're finding a church that needed a youth pastor that could actually pay me, and it's a great plan. And I'm like, we need to pray for your parents, because I think they've lost it. And what he had told us before we went back to our room is this: well, would you at least pray about it? We went back to our room, and I looked at him like, well, you can't tell your dad who's a pastor, like, no, we're not going to pray about it, because I'm going into ministry and I'm not going to pray and bring God into the equation. So we prayed about it. And like, here's what my heart was saying: God, this is a really stupid idea. Surely you're not in it, but I will pray to let them know at least we're praying about it. Have you ever done that, or is it just me, your wicked pastor, just evil? So we prayed about it. And I said this: God, if your will is to do this crazy idea, I didn't say that, but I was thinking it, then make it obvious. But I like my plan better. God heard that prayer. The next week, my wife got laid off. And they're like, you're one of our favorite employees, but we have cutbacks, and you're one of the last ones in and one of the first ones out. We're sorry. I'm like, what is God doing? So I'm like, well, I'm going to go apply to my, you know, register for my classes that are offered every semester. I'm like, four left. And I go there, and all four classes were not offered. And God began to stir at us, like, I'm going to tell you to go when it would be easier to stay and do your plan. And we just began, okay, God, I think you're wanting us to go to the Northwest at this little church. And then they told me how much they would pay me. And I'm like, God, are you sure? Are you really sure? And so I worked with a painting contractor, and he had told me, he was like, man, you were my best guy, and you make me a lot of money, which was true, and don't tell everybody how much I'm paying you, because it's more than what they're getting paid, but you really, whatever. And then I told him a few weeks later, I said, I think looks like God is moving us, and I'm going to be leaving to start my ministry in Washington. And we're driving in his truck, and he's like, no. And then he goes, tell me what you want me to pay you, and I'll pay it. But you can't tell all the other employees. Whatever you want to be paid, I will pay it. And then I just had this thought, it just came out of my mouth, and I knew it wasn't from me, it was from God, and I said, you can't outpay God. And then he goes, well, how much are they paying you? And I said this, $100 a month. That's what I was doing to God. And by faith, we quit and drove across the country. One of the best decisions we ever made. Because we followed God, and he said, go. We went when it would have been much easier to stay. And God taught me in this little mission church about ministry that I would have never learned anywhere else. One of the best decisions we ever made. So here's this guy named Abram. In Genesis chapter 12, got to understand, at this time, there was no Bible. There was no church to attend, to hear from God. There was no pastor to go and get counsel, like, is this what God is saying, you know? And there was no extra, you know, devotional material, a great literature to read and to hear from God. No, chapter 12, verse 1 says, the Lord, I don't know how he did it, but the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. See, God got real specific. I want you to leave everything familiar behind. I want you to leave everything that you're comfortable with behind. Everything that you know, your family, your father's house, your country, your people, I want you to leave and go to a land that you don't know anything about. You've never been there, but I will show you. And God gives a promise. Obedience always follows with the promise. And I will make you into a great, great nation. And I will bless you and I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. And this is this last promise affects all of us. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. It's all about if you obey, if you go and leave, even though it would be easier to stay, I'm gonna bless the entire world. And the answer to that, jump way forward, is God said, I'm gonna come send my son to the earth and I'm gonna have him leave heaven. I'm gonna go through the lineage of Abraham. His name was Jesus. Here's the key first part of verse 4. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. That is astounding faith. Go, leave everything behind. Leave everything behind so that you could follow me. Now, I'm going to share to you a deep truth that some of you are going to, man, I need to hear that 4 or 5 times because it's going to be so deep and so incredibly wise. Some of you are going to tweet this and say, as a tag, my pastor is so smart. It's not true, but you may want to tweet this. Here's something real deep. You're going to go, whoa, when you hear this, all right? Here, let this sink in. To be somewhere else, you have to leave where you are. Some of you are like, can you say that again? Something a little slow. To be somewhere else, you have to leave where you are. Some of you right now, I'm tweeting that, baby. Now, necessarily, God may not say, I want you to move. I want you to pick up and move to a country you've never been to before. He may do that. But I believe God wants to move you somewhere else that you're not there yet. God's looking at you like, you know what? Your maturity level is not where I want it. I need your maturity level to move somewhere else. I want you to go follow me because that will help you grow up and mature. Some of your faith and your knowledge of God is so weak and anemic that God goes, I don't want you to stay here. I want you to be somewhere else with your spiritual vitality. And so I want you to go. You're gonna have to trust me. You're gonna have to do what I want you to do. You have to obey me. That's all that does is strengthen our faith muscles. God would say, I want you to do something different. I want you to serve me in a different way. And because right now you're in a rut and you're really cozy and you're really comfortable. And I love you enough to kind of kick you out of the nest. I want you to, by faith, go in this direction and it's not going to be comfortable. And it's not going to be, familiar. And you're going to, God, are you sure? And I'm going to let you know, I'll confirm it, but it'd be easier for you to stay where you're at than to go where I'm telling you to go. But I want to tell you, I want you to go because I want you somewhere else. So you have to leave where you are. Could you imagine if Abram never left? What if he didn't go? What if Abram said, I leave my family, leave my people, leave my country, leave everything that I know to go to a place I have no idea where it is. See, God is often referred to, especially in the Old Testament, as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if Abraham never would have left, we would never have known his name. And there probably would never have been an Isaac or a Jacob. You see, God had a destiny that he had designed just for Abram and his wife, Sarah, that he would change their names. God had a destiny designed for them. And if he would not have left and gone in that direction, he would have missed what God had prepared for him, had designed for him. He would have missed his destiny. Here's something for your notes. To step towards my destiny, I'm gonna have to step away from my security. Many times, to step toward my destiny that God has predetermined, that I have a plan for you, but my plan for you is not to stay where you're at. You gotta go somewhere else, you gotta leave where you are. And to go toward the destiny that God has called us for, we have to leave our security. What is familiar? What is comfortable? What is safe? Many times, it's what is easy or easier. To go where God wants us to go. To do what God's called us to do. To be blessed in ways that God would bless you. and what it does it require to go where God is calling you to go? It requires faith. Faith. Yeah, and we live in a culture that's like, no, I want facts, and I'm going to make a decision based upon facts and information. And that's a wise thing to do. It's hard to make a decision without all the information. But there's sometimes that God is moving in your heart, and it doesn't make sense. It doesn't pencil out. It doesn't feel right. But then there's this deep down inside of you, God's, you know it's God saying, I want you to go. I want you to step in this direction. And you have to leave your security behind. It talks about, it's all about faith. Now there's this verse in Hebrews, I'm going to show you in just a second, that is powerful. That at times in my life when God was calling me in a direction and I did not want to go in that direction, I wanted to take the easier path, he would bring this verse back to my mind. And I would always look up and go, thanks. Because you can't argue with this verse. Here's it, this verse in Hebrews. Let's say it together. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. What's this word? Impossible. I mean, could I please God a little bit but not have faith? Nope. Zero. This word impossible, it's where we get in the Greek the word zero. So I ask this question all the time. How bad do you want God's blessing? I mean, if you would raise your hand, you don't need to, but if I would say, do you want God to bless your life? I think all of our hands are like, yeah. Do you want God to bless your finances? Yeah. Do you want God to bless your children? Yes, both hands and a foot. Do you want God to bless your future? Do you want God to bless your marriage? Do you want God? I think we'd be foolish to say, no, I'm good. But if we want to bless God, we must please him. And how do we please God? Obey him. And many times obeying him requires faith. And it without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. So a little bit later in this chapter, it's called the Hall of Faith. He says this. By faith, Abraham, when called by God to what? To a place where he would later... See, inheritance is from God. The blessings of God always come later. Where he would later receive his inheritance, what did he do? He obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was, what? He had no idea. There was no GPS. There was no revelation. There was no Bible to read. It was just God was clearly moving him to go. And he went. But it was by faith. It was absolutely by faith. So I'm going to ask a question that I asked last week is this. What does God want me to want? We know what we want. And we like to tell God what we want. I'll tell you what I want when I really, really want, right? We know what our parents want. We know what our spouse wants. All you have to do is ask them. Maybe they tell you without you asking them. We know what our friends want. The question is, God, what do you want me to want? Because if I want what you want, I'll make the right decision. And that will please you. God, what should I want to want? With that in mind, in light of what God wants me to want, here's the question to ask next is, what step of faith do I need to take then? God, I really want to please you. God, I'm sensing you drawing me to you. I've never had a relationship with you before, but I'm sensing you draw me. I'm in this church. How did I get here? I don't usually do this, but I'm here, but God is drawing you. God is speaking to you if you're a believer. Hey, I want you to do this. I want you to go. You've been fighting me. You've been staying where it's safe and comfortable. Okay, God, if that's what you want, what step of faith do I need to take to go in that direction when it would be easier to stay? It would be more comfortable to stay. It would make more sense to stay. It's a lot more safe to stay. God, what do you want me to want? In light of that, what step of faith do you want me to take? Some of you, I got this sense, I can't read minds or hearts. I'm not God. I have a sense that there's someone here today that God has been drawing you to himself, and he says, I want you to trust me as your savior. You've been trying to please me by going to church, and church is a good thing, but it'll never get you to heaven. And you've been trying to be the best person possible, but you know what? You're not holy, and you're a sinner, and I've paid for your sin on the cross, and I rose again to prove that I have the power over death and sin, and I've been drawing you to me, and you've been holding off. And God wants you to go to him today and surrender in faith and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You need to do that today. Amen. Some of you have done that. And then the Bible says, believe and then be baptized. You're like, ooh. Baptism is obedience. How do we please God? Obeying, many times by faith. And I believe God wants some of you to go in the direction to get baptized. We're going to have a baptism in 2 weeks. And I would love for it to be packed back there. And we have to just keep baptizing people. Because some of you are like, I need to go. And by faith and obedience, I need to do what God has been calling me to do. I bet it'd be easier just to stay and stay dry and stay. No one notices. But God has been saying, go public. So you need to pull out your program, take the car, put the name in. There's a little box that says, I want to be baptized. Check it off. Turn it into guest services in 2 weeks. You'll go public. Maybe God's saying, I want you to go and be a part of a life group when we launch them in September. And the church gets larger, we need to get smaller, you need to be in a life group, you need to be around people and discuss things. And some of you have been holding off, like, I don't know, new people scare me. And God says, I want you to be in a life group. I want you to just go once and go, I'm done, I checked the box. And I want you to go all semester, all 3 months this fall. Some of you, God's saying, I want you to go and I want you to be a life group host. I want you to open your house and just say, I want whoever God brings, we're going to dig into the sermon or dig into what God wants, and we're going to get to know God better and know each other. Some of you need to go in the direction, I'll be a host. Some of you are like, oh man, I'm sitting and I'm not involved, not engaged. And God was like, I want you to go and go downstairs and talk to Bethany because they're running out of leaders. They need more small group. She said 8 times from September to December, and you can be a small group leader. Maybe you need to go and do that or serve. So you serve on your staff. Some of you need to go and actually sign up and then audition for the Christmas Dessert Theater. Don't go because I say or Mike says or anybody else says, but if God is saying, I want you to do this, I've given you gifts, you haven't used them since high school, I want you to use them for my glory. I want you to go. I want you to go and volunteer at the Kitsap Rescue Mission to help hurting people find Jesus. Yeah, but what if I'm, is God calling you to do that? Maybe God's saying, you have yet to begin giving to me. You tip me now and then, but I want you by faith. I want you to go in the direction of if giving every time you get paid, give me a percentage. Maybe I can't do 10. We'll start at 5 and then 6 and 7 and get there. God is calling you to go across the street and invite someone over for lunch and brag upon Jesus if the door opens. Maybe God has said, I want you to go to work this week and ask someone, would you be my plus one? Come to church one time. I don't know. It just goes on and on and on. What is God calling you to go do? Wouldn't it be easier, most comfortable, safe to stay where you're at? When I was 16, there were 5 of us kids in the family, Bonnie, Barry, Betty, Becky, and Bobby. And 3 of us were teenagers. And my dad called us upstairs to what I think my sister Becky's room, and usually when he called all the kids together, it's like, okay, who's in trouble? And I know I'm good, so who's gonna get it? And my dad began to talk in hushed terms and goes, okay, I want to talk to you about something. You may have noticed that your mom's been a little difficult to be around lately. And Oliver's like, yeah, she's been frustrating, she's been like just going, whatever. And he goes, well, I want to tell you something, good information that may help you understand so you can give her grace. He goes, when women are in their 40s, there's this thing called menopause. Which is really awkward telling you this because I had no idea that my mom would be in service today. Notes were already printed. He goes, there's a thing called menopause. And he explained it, and he was like, so you can understand. And we're like, all right, that's helpful information. I could cut her some slack and give her grace because she has physical issues. It was good information as teenagers. My dad was so wrong. It wasn't even close to the mark because my mom did not have menopause. My mom was pregnant. My youngest brother was 9 years old. I didn't think they did that anymore. Sorry, Mom. And I'm like, what? Now, let me rewind the tape. Years earlier that I found out later. See, after my brother Bobby, my mom was like, I'm done with this. Five's enough. She made a decision to have her tubes tied. But since that time, God, with no one really knowing, not even my dad for a long time, God was going, I didn't want you to do that. I want you to go and have them untied. Yeah, but the odds of being pregnant again after that happens are pretty small. God was like, I want you to go. She finally told my dad one time, this is what God's been burning me, talking to me, and I've been wrestling with it. I've decided I'm going to go do that. So she went to Kaiser, took care of that. Of course, I was kids, we had no clue. And my mom didn't have menopause. She later had Brindy. And the Kaiser was like, you know how old you are? She was like, yes, I'm fully aware how old I am. 2 years later, she had Bradley. And they kept saying, you know you're 43. Mom, one of the best decisions you ever made was to go do that. Because I don't understand and I can't even comprehend our family without Brindy and Bradley. And now their wives and husbands and children. One of the best decisions you ever made by faith to do what God was calling her to do. I already had my notes printed, but I came across an email from a young lady. Brielle, if you could come up on stage. This is Brielle Millerman. She's grown up in our church. She was in our children's ministry, Awana ministry, middle school, high school. She's off at college now. She's back at Liberty University. And could you welcome Brielle? Welcome, Brielle.
Hi.
And so she emailed me. She said, this is what God's called me to do and to go. And I went, go? And so I said, I'm having this message, and here's the central point. Could I interview you? And she says, sure. So, Brielle, what's your major?
Nursing.
And you're going to go back as what year?
Junior? Yeah.
Okay, starting your junior year. Great nursing program there. What is God calling you to go?
To go to Rwanda, Africa.
On a medical missions trip. And then she told me early this morning back there in the corner that people, you know, it's a pretty big program, and they had to apply, and they were taking this many people. So to apply and then meet all the criteria was pretty stringent on your grades, attendance, and all the sort of things. And they accepted you, so you get to go to Rwanda. But it costs money. How much does this trip cost?
$3,600.
So, right, yeah. And it's not too far away. No. Do you have $3,600 like lying around somewhere?
I wish.
Okay. Mom, Dad are here. Isn't there a tree in the backyard that has money that grows on it?
No, they do not have that, sadly.
No, I don't think any of us have that tree. So as you've been searching, okay, God, I'm going to go, but I need to figure out how to pay. Yes. So what are your ideas?
I designed a T-shirt that will allow you to buy and also sponsor me, and you get a T-shirt and to bless, and everyone gets something. So, yeah.
Okay, this T-shirt, it has like the world, and then Africa is, it looks like Lion King.
Yeah.
But on the bottom it says, love has no borders. Mm-hmm. So yeah, remember 20 years ago, Rwanda was in the news, it was all bad. And so now their medical missions team is going to there. So that's where God is calling you to go. Would it be easier to stay and not go?
It would be.
Yes. It'd be a couple weeks of intense ministry. So. Yes. This week is our Compassion Sunday, right? Last Sunday of the month. And we're not going to have collections at the door. I checked with the right people, and our compassion fund is very healthy. So this month of July, our compassion offering is right here. Right here, okay? So I would love for her home church, I think she was born in the nursery. She's raised all the way through. I would love for our church to send her to where God has called her to go, send her to Rwanda. So what we're going to do is after the service, you and Holly and your mom are over there, and you have some little things, because you've got to go back to school, and some little things to pay, and I told you, ordered me an extra large, and you need to find out what candy size is, because I'm not going to share. But we want to buy those t-shirts, but go after the service. Let's send this girl to Rwanda. Can we thank Brielle?
Thank you.
Yes. I also had somebody last service that says, I don't have cash or check, whatever, so I got permission. If you go online to and the drop down for Compassion Fund, this month, all the donations there will be sent in her direction so she can go where God is calling her to go. So when God calls us to go, what holds us back? One word, fear. What if I fail? What if I don't raise enough money? What if I go and it's hard? It's fear. So the question we need to ask ourselves is this: do I live my life by fear or by faith? Do I live my life, is that what God wants me to do? Live my life by fear or by faith? I am so glad that Abram, I'm sure he had fear. See, courage is not the absence of fear. You just do what God's called you to do. You just go in that direction. You take a step in that direction. And you're thinking, oh, okay, can God just tell me how it's gonna work out? Can God show me the end? Can God show me the results? Yes, I'll raise enough money. Yes, I'll do this and it'll work out. Yes, I'll get involved in this and it'll be a blessing to people and others. No, God will not show you the blessing at what's gonna be the end product. He didn't show Abram, this is how it's all gonna play out. Just go in this direction. So for your notes, you don't have to have the faith to finish and know what the end is. You just have to have the faith to get started. Take the first step in that direction. Go in the direction God is calling you to go. Do what God is calling you to do. Take a step of faith and let God take care of the consequences. Let God take care of the results, because he is asking you to obey him. So whatever it is, go, even though it may be harder to stay. And what a story that Abram has. It just wraps up by this: by faith, Abraham obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. He took a step in that direction because God had called him, and he just went. And it took obedience and faith to go. So what is God speaking to you? What does God want you to do? Where does he want you to go? With every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. Maybe God is saying, I want you to go and join my family. Trust in Jesus, not religion. Not what you do, to trust in what Jesus did on the cross and out of the tomb. Surrender right now where you're at. Trust in Jesus. Maybe you need to go and fill out that form and get baptized in 2 weeks. Maybe you need to go join that ministry. Maybe you go serve. Maybe you need to walk across the street. Maybe you need to go to the ends of the earth sharing about Jesus. Go where God is calling you to go. Without no one looking around, I just want to know, how many of you heard from God in one area, maybe more, but one area at least, where God said, I want you to go and do something? Could I see your hands? Ooh, lots of hands. Lots of hands. Oh, let me just plead with you, beg with you. Go. Trust God. And do what he wants you to do. God, thank you for Abraham. Thank you for the story you wrote, because he made a decision to go. And what a life it was to live, and it's still a great story to tell. And an inspiration to us by faith to go where you're calling us to go, to do what you're calling us to do. Lord, I pray that you would change our stories and give you praise. May you bless those who by faith, they decided to start something or they decided to stop a bad habit or an attitude. Maybe they decided to stay when it'd be easier to go. Or maybe even today, some people made a decision to go. Wouldn't it be a lot easier to stay comfortable? Bless them as they surrender to you as you write their story. We give you all the praise in advance for this. In the name of Jesus and all the power associated with his name, we say, amen. Amen.